Good morning. This is a service this morning. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. All right. Just want to make sure I'm not here alone this morning. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord God, we're just so thankful for this day because this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We're just so thankful for everyone who is here today, Lord. We're thankful for the word that you have prepared for us, Lord. I pray that everything that comes out of my mouth will be directly from you, Lord, that they will hear directly from you. They will hear your words. They will hear your voice, Lord. Lord, I pray that everyone who is coming here for extra energy, for the extra motivation, for the extra zeal that they need to get through the rest of the week, to get through tomorrow, to get through the rest of the month, Lord, in all of their situations, Lord, that you be with them, that you watch over them, Lord, that you give them the encouragement to go on, Lord. You are a great, amazing God, Lord, and we're just so thankful because we don't deserve you, Lord. All these things we bring to you in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. We are going to go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. And we're going to be going through verses 8 to 22. And I'll read from the screen. And when the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants, "My camp will be at such and such place." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Be careful passing by the place, for the Arameans are going down there." Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king, so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, and he called his servants and demanded of them, "Tell me, which one of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No one, my lord, the king. No one, my lord, the king. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him." When he was told, "Elisha is in Dothan," he sent horses and chariots and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of all around Elisha. When the Arameans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Please strike this nation with blindness." So he struck them with blindness according to Elisha's word. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. When they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open these men's eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes. They discovered they were in Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? I will kill them." And lastly, verse 22, Elisha replied, "Don't kill them. Do you kill those who have captured with your sword or your bow. Set food and water in front of them so they can eat and drink and go to their master. This is the Lord's word. I pray that he add his richest blessing for his name's sake. There's a lot going on here. Quick background. We're in 2 Kings, and the book of Kings is pretty much detailing pretty much the reign of all of the kings of Israel over many, many years, right? And there's one notable king to mention here, and that is the son, actually, of King Solomon. Now, and yes, this is the same King Solomon that's known for his wisdom. When he passed away, his son took over as the king of Israel, but he was not one of the best kings. He was actually not a good king at all. He didn't listen to his counsel. He was ignoring a lot of the good advice that he was giving, and it caused a lot of debate around Israel at that time. And it was to the point that it caused Israel to split into a northern and southern portion. So northern Israel is actually where this particular message is being taken from. This is where Elisha was. If you, all my kids from YPM, you're going to appreciate this, because yesterday and for the past 2 weeks, we were studying Jeremiah, and we were talking about pretty much the same thing. But if you remember what we were talking about, Jeremiah was actually in the southern part of Israel at that time. So, and that southern part of Israel, when it got broken apart, was called Judah. And that's pretty much where Jerusalem was located. So it's kind of cool when you go into it, because Jeremiah actually traveled to the northern and southern part. It's actually detailed in there. It's really cool. But Elisha, who we're talking about right now, he stayed in the northern part of Israel, because we'll see pretty much that's where he was needed, right? So in verse 8, it says, when King Aram was at war with Israel, he will confer with his officers. He will mobilize our forces at such and such place. Now, he was pretty much traveling around. At this point, Elisha had taken over the mantle from Elijah, right? And he's at this point in time, he had already performed several miracles, right? And now it's to a point where it's causing problems for the outside king, which is mentioned here, which is the of Aram, which in other versions is detailed as Syria. Aram and Syria is pretty much detailed as the same thing. Now, my title for this message today is, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we see a lot of that here, right? As I mentioned, the gifts, being in the will of the Lord, it's going to cause problems for your enemies, right? For you specifically, it's going to cause problems for people who are trying to oppose you in several ways. Even if we don't see it, I could tell you that it's happening, right? So this is where we see Elisha in the will of the Lord. He's immediately stepping in to protect Samaria, where they were living, right? So we see in verse 8 to 10. So we'll start at verse 9. But immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man time and again. Elisha warned the king so that he would be on alert there. So essentially what's happening is it happened several times. An enemy king of Samaria, the northern part of Israel, is trying to attack and planning to attack Israel and the children of Israel at that particular point in time. But Elisha would alert the king of Israel at that time of what's going to happen, and it's pretty much an avoided war that's happening. Now, Elisha is nowhere near any of the enemies, but he's getting this information, right? Because he's a prophet. This is part of the gifts that he was given. And he's letting the armies know. Now, one notable thing to mention here, when you're in the will of the Lord, then all other plans are going to fall apart, right? When you're in the will of the Lord, all of your enemy's plans are going to crumble. You can't compete with God, right? And this is what we're seeing almost immediately, right? He is completely disrupting plans against us, against the plan, against anything, all the bad things that enemies are trying to do to the children of Israel, right? It's funny. I was watching Hulu a while ago, and there was this documentary on like the Italian mafia from back in the 1980s. You know, John Gotti, all those crime families who were like making a whole bunch of money across New York and around the area. And one of the things that they did, that the FBI did, that they spoke about was the fact that they figured out how to tap the people's phones, right? So one notable person that they were able to do a wiretap for was one of John Gotti's closest officers who pretty much ran the day-to-day operations for him, right? And what they learned was like he was taking phone calls in his daughter's bedroom, right? So they figured out how to get into the house, tap the phone, right? And they were able to hear information. Now, how do we explain this, right? Verse 11. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who is informing the king of my plans? Get this part. It's not us, my lord the king. One of the officers applied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words that you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. This is now, I mean, today's March 12th, right? 2023, right? This is 900 BC, right? This is like 3,000 years ago, right? Today's March 12th. Minus 1 hour of sleep for all of us, right? Right? This is 3,000 years ago, but we see that God is already equipping us with this advanced technology, equipping him with this advanced technology that they can't, this is well beyond their understanding, right? But this is something that God easily could do, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's read verse 13. So go and find out where he is. The king commanded, so I can send the troops to seize him and report back Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. This is an interesting kind of danger. So like a few weeks ago, I went, one of my friends is getting married, and we ended up taking a trip to Costa Rica for a few days, right? And on the trip, I went whitewater rafting. And mind you, I can't swim, but they give you life jackets and stuff like that, right? So I was okay there. Now, I have been whitewater rafting before, right? I've been whitewater, like in Pennsylvania, the waters are awesome. It's nice and smooth, like very comfortable. But over there, completely different story. And they don't tell you that. They don't tell you that at all, right? So I went out there I'm thinking it's going to be pretty much like it was before, right? So I go really comfortable. I'm wearing slippers. I take my phone with me. I put it in my pocket so I could take pictures because the views and everything was like really nice, really, really beautiful to see, right? And the path gets so difficult, man. Like after a while, you're just pretty much trying to focus on getting through the path so you can go home, right? But my raft ended up hitting a rock, this huge rock, and flipped me and the guys in my raft over into the water, right? So we weren't able to avoid it. We hit the rock, we fell into the water, and all the steps that it took in this particular process, they had to pretty much, I was able to maneuver myself to get to the side of the path so I could pin myself against a rock and, you know, stay there until they were able to come and get me, right? They threw a rope over, pulled me over to where they were, right? Come to find out after, I lost my phone. So there's that. The rest of the vacation, I had no phone. After I got back, I went a whole week with no phone. By the way, and if any of you remember, well, Ricky, if you remember, this is the week before the revival. So like all the communication that was supposed to happen, it was very difficult for me to do so, right? Now, this in particular was a different kind of danger because this is a whole army who's coming for Elisha specifically, right? Let's read verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. This is a man, okay? The young man cried to Elisha, right? He's a servant, right? So he's just getting up. He's probably trying to handle a few chores before maybe Elisha woke up or just trying to get some things out of the way. And it's a whole army outside. Can you imagine like the neighbors who's like hearing this, like, or seeing this, like what's going on with the neighbors next door, right? And up to this point, we don't know of any kind of training with a sword, a staff, a lightsaber, that like none of that stuff is detailed about Elisha, right? It's just, but despite all of that, Elisha is the safest person in this passage. Despite we seeing the details of a whole army coming to him, right? And I love, my favorite in this particular portion is the servant, because it keeps us honest. It keeps us completely honest, because the reality is the way he was reacting is how a lot of people would naturally react, right? You have tanks, you have helicopters, you have soldiers that you hear is coming directly to you and you don't even understand why, right? That's a lot to handle when you're just waking up in the morning and stepping outside of your door, right? But the thing is, he was taken up by all of what he was seeing, right? It's a whole bunch of distractions that's going on, right? And he had his sights on everything, not God. He had his sights on everything that was happening around him, but not his sights on God. And because of that, that's when you start to feel all these things that you see him going through, right? And we see that. And that's one of the things as believers that we have to make sure to be careful of, because, I mean, look, it was even mentioned earlier, you know, when we're thinking about just the country is going through a lot right now, right? The world itself is going through a lot, right? And it's in many different forms, right? We have social media, we have, you know, it's like you could get in there on your phone and it's just a never ending scroll of content. It's never going to end, and it'll keep you in there, right? It'll never end. If you don't do social media, well, guess what? It's on the news too. I don't even know if you can call it the news, but because some of these channels that I'm thinking of, like, it's not like they show the weather on there. Like They do the research and they pick certain topics that they know you're going to have some kind of reaction to. And they'll just sit there and keep talking about it program after program, program after program, to keep your attention on it and not on anything else. And this is exactly what you could compare it to. So now when we get into verse 16 and 17, this is our favorite part, right? We love this part, right? Let's hear it. Verse 16, do not be afraid. Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Amen. Anyone hearing that? Can I read it again? Do not be afraid. That's the first part. Do not be afraid. Elisha told him, whatever it is that you're seeing, the war in Ukraine, do not be afraid. The division in this country, do not be afraid. All of the things that you see around, it's all negativity. The majority of the stuff that we see on TV, when you watch the news and all of that stuff, is more negative stuff than bad stuff, and they feed into it. The Bible tells us right here, right now, do not be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Amen. So when we think of all the different situations that you could think of, right? You have, you know, you're in school, bullies in school, finances not always adding up, family dysfunction, war in other parts of the world, living in a country that's divided, you're in a career that seems like it's just not taking you anywhere, it's not interesting to you. Do not be afraid. There's more on our side than on their side. It's very interesting because the reality is what the key in this situation is faith, right? God is looking for us no matter what the enemy does, right? We know the enemy, he doesn't rest. He's going to keep doing stuff, especially to us believers, right? He's going to continue to do stuff to us who's working on revivals at the church, the kitchen staff, who's doing music, who's doing the radio room. All of us, like, we're doing the work in the will of the Lord. And of course, there's always going to be different obstacles in the way. But he's saying, don't worry about any of that because I'm right here. He's saying, I'm right here. Let's read verse 18. As the Aramean army, wait, did I skip something? 17. Let's read 17. And this is, we're still in one of the best parts of it, right? Now, we mentioned, right, we're not trying to pay attention to any of the distractions, right? Because we want to set our sights and keep our sights on God. Then Elisha prayed, verse 17, then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. God is always going to one-up you. God is always going to, really, the reality is, he's not going to one up you. He's going to like 100,000 up you, right? And the cool thing is, like, we get insight here. That's what I really appreciate about this passage. One of the things I really appreciate about this passage is because the young man gets to see what God is revealing to him, right? It's a completely different story now, right? Because all you were seeing before was the distractions that was around. God is now stepping in and revealing to him what's actually happening and You see that it's a completely different story. Let's keep our eyes on God. Let's read verse 18. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. There's an army approaching you. Elisha has no sword. He doesn't have a bunch of people to protect them. None of that stuff. Pure aggression that's coming towards him. The first thing that Elisha does is pray. The first thing that he does, he's not looking to meet aggression with aggression, right? Because anything that he can do is not going to be good as what God can do, right? He's like, no, I'm not even going to play this game with you. So now immediately the Lord says, okay, let me take your side away. Now the people who are within the will of the Lord, he will reveal that vision. He will show you what is in store, what's happening around you. Now, when you're not in the will of the Lord, it's blindness. Even if you can see, you still have no idea what's going on around you, right? He will completely take your full sight away, and you will be like just as lost as these men. It's a whole army and nobody can see anymore. Amen? I have to do better at managing my notes. But, amen, amen. One of the things, just to add on to that, right? Once again, he hasn't lifted a finger, right? And the cool part about this particular story is it's a whole army that's coming to him. Now, there's several other miracles that he performed where he actually does do something, right? In this same chapter, early in this chapter, there was an axe that fell in the water, and he had to drop another piece of wood in the water to make the axe float, right? But as we can see, like, for something of this nature, when you have a full army that's coming to you from different directions, all around you, right? It says that it was this huge, massive army. And at this point, Elisha hasn't done anything. He just prayed. And that's another major important thing for us to remember. A lot of times, God doesn't even require us to do anything. He just wants us to pray. He wants us to be faithful to him, right? And that's it. The game is over, right? So let's read verse 20. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes and they discovered they were in the middle of Samaria. Can you imagine like being in the middle of this? I would, if I lost my vision, right? And then some guy that I'm supposed to be going to attack just says, "All right, you guys can see now." And then my vision comes back. I don't want to be there anymore. I'm ready to get out of there, right? And it's just another point. Like, I remember I used to be worried a lot of times with the youth. As you know, I'm in several ministries specifically for youth, right? And YPM is like the one that's like most nearest and dearest to my heart, right? But when a group of kids that we had, right, and you all have heard about it, like we would have like 20, 30 kids. There's been times where that room upstairs, right, would have 20 to 30 kids who aren't even in Sunday school, right? Weren't actually coming to this church specifically, but they would make sure to come here on a Saturday at 6 p.m. And then COVID, right? Before that, we were actually starting to see them show up here on Sundays, right? But the interesting thing is, whenever they were graduating, I used to always be nervous because I knew that because our numbers would go down. And we were pretty much in a place where we almost have to start from scratch. But time and time again, and this is like, I remember I would always, because Ricky is like my mentor here, he's not gonna admit it to you, but that's what he is, right? And I would share that with him, and I remember observing, like, he would almost never be worried about that. He would almost, because he's just like, look, God is in control here. God is in control here. And his plan is what's gonna go on. So whether it be another 20 kids, maybe we'll have six another time, like, God is in control. And the reality is, God loves good tidings. I'm using his word specifically. God loves good tidings. We were here for this revival a few weeks ago. That place was jam-packed, right? And we're trying to do as much as we can to keep the youth here as involved, as interacted with as possible. You know, it's not easy, and I, you know, definitely continue to pray for us, but that is something where I learned very, very well, like, by example, like, just keep your sight on God. Keep your eyes on him. There's nothing else that really matters after that. So let's finish up. We're going to read verse 21 to 23. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" This is like the first mention of the king of Israel in this passage. Mind you, this is all happening in a kingdom in Samaria, right? And Elisha is doing all the work here. And now we see that the king of Israel shows up because the soldiers were pretty much dismantled. They're just ready to get out of there, right? So now he's saying, well, should I kill them? And Elisha replied, of course not. Verse 22, Elisha replied, do we kill prisoners of war? Instead, give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. God's way is not our way. This is somebody who was coming to attack the city, right? He says, you know what? No, we're not doing that. Send them food, give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. And then he actually went above and beyond the same king in verse 23. Instead of the food and drink, it says that so the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. That's it. Stayed away from the land of Israel. So in closing, when you're in the will of the Lord, problems become no problems. When you're in the will of the Lord is going to provide his sight and a vision for you to get through everything. And lastly, the Lord is going to continuously be with you. He's going to continuously protect you in all different ways, whether we see it or we don't, whether we feel it or we don't. Amen. I pray the Lord add his richest blessing to this word for his name's sake.